Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few months ago, we were sitting with some other church members, some of the leaders of this church and other church, and we were talking to the head of our stewardship person in the northern province, and he had come to give a workshop, and it was very informative, but everyone was pretty tired. Not only were we tired, I think we were all a little grumpy, and of course we had eaten, so that made us pretty lethargic. And this man had given us a lot of handouts. And then he made a statement. It was a bold statement. It was a wonderful statement. And in that statement, he said, when the church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, we are one of the most powerful forces on earth. And he threw that out and asked, what do you think about that? Well, there was silence. And then one person said, I don't believe that. And I'm so glad it wasn't one of mine. Because I would have forgotten who I was and sent them to Jesus. But then the person went on and said, I don't believe that, and said why. Because she felt that the church had lost something. And she bemoaned the fact that although we have our doors open, very few people come in, and that we might have something to offer, but so few come in, and it just feels like we're going through the motions. I can understand that. Timothy in the Bible could certainly understand that. Timothy was Paul's right-hand man, and Paul was the great evangelist. It was very exciting when anyone was around Paul, exciting sometimes in a good way and exciting sometimes in a bad way, especially when people start taking up rocks and throwing at him, but it was always exciting. And even after Paul landed in prison, Timothy was his emissary, and Timothy would go on trips, and that must have been very exciting for Timothy. But Timothy was not Paul. Timothy was a very sensitive young person. And ministry did not come naturally or easily for him. And in the second book of Timothy that we read, it's actually a letter from Paul to Timothy. And at this time, Paul is an old man, and he knows that he's going to be executed. And the church is past its heyday, past the exciting times, and now they have to set down roots and they have to put regulations in and doctrines in, and there's no more excitement. And also the church is on the margins. And people are not quite sure if the church will survive. So I can understand how Timothy must have felt. Paul said to Timothy in one of his writings, I've seen your tears. He encouraged Timothy to be strong and be courageous. But it's awfully hard when the time isn't right. And so Paul gives him marching orders. He said, you must preach the word, whether it's an acceptable time or an unacceptable time. It's great when the churches are crowded. It's great when everybody's thinking the same thing and everyone's excited to be around. But it's awfully hard when nobody seems to be listening. And so we have good news. That even happened in the early church. And Paul says, you got to preach it, whether people are listening or not. I had a dear friend in a church back in Maryland, and this friend was called to a church. He was a seasoned pastor, and he was called to a church that really needed his ministry. And after he arrived, he got very depressed. Very depressed because the people did not argue with him. No one said, we don't agree with you. They just simply ignored everything he said. It was as if he didn't exist. That's worse than people fighting with you. And this was going on year after year. They would come to church. They would sit very politely in the pews, nod their heads, and go off and do exactly what they pleased. Unfortunately, I would have to do pulpit exchanges with him. I hated pulpit exchanges. He loved coming to my church because they were nice. But I'd have to go to his church and I'd preach up a storm, two services. It wasn't a small church, two services. And in both services, I come back thinking, I don't want to do that again. I felt so sorry for him. His dear wife, who was one of these troopers, who loved the ministry, who was engaged in all sorts of ministry, after a few years, she made him promise that at year 8 in this ministry that he would start looking for a call out. Now, I thought that was very generous of her. She was willing to give it 8 full years of misery before he'd have to get a call out. And so year 8 came and nothing had changed. So he obeyed his wife. He said, okay, I will set calls out. And it wasn't as if he felt badly about that. He wanted to leave. And so he would tell me very excitedly of where he had applied and what he was doing. And he knew that this was going to happen. He talked to the district president, said, I'm ready for a call. Every call that came was wrong. And he knew it. And he'd have to turn them down. And it was very painful. He also applied for some jobs that he would have been fabulous at. And he was turned down for every job. And I couldn't understand it because this was a very gifted person. In year 12 of his ministry, I had a pulpit exchange. And I said, oh, gotta go again. Now, I liked the people. I knew them very well. I walk in and I start preaching and I saw a tremendous difference in the church. The church had come alive. And it felt like it was overnight, but I realized it had been 12 long years of preaching out of season before things took hold. He stayed there until retirement. He left the church when he had been there 18 years. And his wife told me that for the last month of their ministry, she cried every Sunday, because she was so sad to leave her dear brothers and sisters. I said, isn't that so much nicer than wanting to shake the dust off your feet? But the most miraculous thing was that there was a young man who came to his church during that difficult time, and the gospel got a hold of him, and he is now one of our pastors in the Moravian Church. You see, you've got to be persistent when the time isn't right. But it's not just a call to pastor types like me to be persistent. All of us have been given a marvelous ministry. Here in Ephraim, we have been given a gift. We are called the Church of the Open Door. Every Sunday in the summer, somebody comes in who's never come into our church before. Somebody comes to these beautiful shores, I wonder why, to vacation, to restore their souls. And we have an opportunity to preach the gospel, to be the gospel. The way we do that, Paul had said to Timothy that you need to search the scriptures. We don't search the scriptures so we know exactly what to say, so we can whack people over the head with the Bible. We search the scriptures so that we can be equipped for every good work. And that good work, I believe, for this church is hospitality. Because we know how to open our doors and love people into the kingdom. That's the gift we've been given. Sometimes that gift is reciprocated, and other times it isn't. Sometimes we feel so good about opening our homes, and other times we say, go home. But it's especially important when it's out of season, when we don't feel like it, when we're worn down. That's when we need to be faithful, out of season. Somebody asked one of our folks that, what do you do after everybody leaves? What do you do with yourselves in the wintertime? And she said, we sleep. We get ourselves back together so that we can, again, be the church. There are times that the word of God is out of season. That day when we had our seminar, I was sitting with a lady who was bemoaning the fact that we're not that powerful. And I said, we're peddlers. We are peddlers of hope because we know the hope of the world. We are peddlers of light because we know Jesus as the light of the world. We are peddlers of forgiveness because Jesus has forgiven our sins. We are peddlers of the resurrection because we know the life abundant. We are peddlers of Jesus because as we read and as we learn, we start reflecting the light and the grace and the mercy of God. And this world needs that. They need it so much. And so when you feel that what you've said and what you've done just doesn't make any difference, don't give up. Be persistent. Preach the word through our lives, through our actions, and through our words when the season is right and even in the off season. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the life of Timothy, who, although he was discouraged, soldiered on for you. I thank you that when we don't think it matters, your grace and your light are being poured out. And I ask that if someone came here discouraged today, if someone came here thinking that their lives do not matter, that your spirit would get a hold of that one and restore that one to your grace, your mercy, and your strength so that we can be your people in a dark and lonesome world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.